Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at Friends of Kevin. So excited to get Matt Mercy with us from Acapella Technologies. Going to talk a little bit about IT in this segment. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, Matt, every now and then I get a little paranoid, brother. Seeing all this ransomware stuff, you know, people, I got hit with ransomware. As a small business owner, you know, a guy running a networking group, how concerned should I be?
Well, you know, that's a great question. The simple answer is that sensible computing and wise computing is really the best answer to ransomware. Quite simply, if you're two components, right? First is education. If you have conversations with your people about not clicking on things in emails or not logging into websites they don't know, those kind of things, that's where, you know, the most reliable place to get hit with ransomware is in somebody clicking on something they shouldn't. So that's the first thing. And secondarily, when you do get hit with ransomware, or if you should get hit with ransomware, and you have a geographically disparate disconnected from the network backup, you can or an image, you can restore from that to the production environment and be okay. We've been very fortunate in that we've been faced with ransomware situations a half a dozen times and haven't had to pay. We were able to recover their data.
That helps. I'm sure you were a very popular guy that day, that's for sure.
There was a lot of pats on the back and God bless Matt. It wasn't even really
sure.
Me, right? My guys are the ones that do all that, but we were very fortunate.
So Matt, one of the other things I really dislike is changing my passwords. I just dislike it. You know, I joke every time I try to log into something, I yell to my wife, "Babe, what's my password for this?" You know, because my wife keeps track of it for me. How often do I have to change my passwords? What's the advice on that?
So there's an inverse relationship between security and inconvenience, right? A lot of websites will ask you to make a dual factor authentication. You know, you've got the right password. We're going to send you a code to insert to further prove who you are, who you say you are, and that's really the most secure situation. But when some people never change their passwords, and each day without a changed password is a little riskier. Conversely, if you change your password every day, it's going to be a whole lot more difficult to hack, but wildly inconvenient. So it's a balance to be struck.
Always is, unfortunately, and stuff. So, Matt, I was kind of chuckling because I was thinking about the show earlier in the expression, the cloud. I remember back when I was doing some IT stuff at the bank, you know, God, 10 plus years ago now. First time I heard the cloud, I'm like, the files are in the cloud. And, you know, me being a wise guy, I'm like, what if it rains, Matt? Do I lose all my files? You know, and the guy's looking at me like, I'm like, I really don't understand what the cloud is. So we hear this now all the time, you know, and it's in the cloud. What is the cloud, Matt? What are you talking about?
So the cloud is really the notion of the cloud is largely concocted by marketing people because it's an easy way to say that your files are somewhere else. Back in the day when you had all of your email on AOL and you didn't download stuff to your computer, you had to log into AOL to see your email, right? Well, AOL kept all your email in the cloud. So it's the same. It's things that are in the cloud just exist on another computer that you access through the internet. For example, I mean, you can when you have Office 365, which a lot of your listeners probably have heard of, you can download your emails to your local machine, but you can also look at them through a web interface in exactly the same manner you did with AOL. So Microsoft has data centers literally all over the world that your data in particular could reside on. It might be in my particular email server goes through like Greenland or something, but it's a global community. Nobody cares exactly where it is, and it's definitely redundant in a bunch of different places. So the simple definition is the things that you have in the cloud, the data that's in the cloud resides on a computer or computers that are somewhere other than your geography and your network. But they're still on computers, servers, just like always, but they're just somewhere else.
So Matt, today I was over at Panera meeting with some people and I was going to get my Mountain Dew. And I walked by a guy in Panera online doing his banking. Am I just paranoid or is that like a really bad idea?
Nope, bad idea. Your connection with your bank is secured, but the guy sitting in the next booth in Panera can be logged into your machine and using a keylogger. So I never do any banking on a public network. I think you are not, in fact, paranoid. It all has to do with the internet connection. It's a public internet connection that anybody can get on. I very seldom use public networks, but when I do, I never transact business, banking or anything like that. No, your instinct is absolutely correct on that.
So now we're coming into the holiday season and people may be considering getting a new computer. How often, as a small business owner, should we consider getting new computers? I find that people just want to keep their computer forever. I'm like, Matt, you just hit the, Google button, then you went and made a sandwich, and watched TV, and Google's finally up. Probably not the most efficient way to run a business. So is there a rule of thumb to this as to how long?
Yeah, there is. Typically, it travels with the warranty, right? So you can very easily get a 3-year warranty on your machine. You can get a 2-year extended warranty on that, and then they won't warranty it anymore. And there's a reason, because it's out of date and more likely to fail. It all has to do with actuarial tables, right? So my best advice is that your computer, you really should plan on swapping out your computer every 3 years, maximum 5.
Cool. Now, follow-up question. How about for just the guy or gal that just wants a computer, they want to go on the internet, maybe use Microsoft Office, word processing type of thing. What type of machine do you recommend for them? I mean, you see these online now, $250 to $2,500. What's okay and what's too much for just a typical home user type of thing?
Man, that's a brilliant question. I would say to you that it has everything to do with what you're going to do, right? As you say, if somebody's just going to use Office and Word and check their email and shop on Amazon, and that they needn't have a terribly robust computer. In terms of the specifics and the specifications, there are many different kinds of processors. An i5 processor is about the middle of the road. 8 gigabytes of RAM are a good idea, just because it helps speed your machine up a little bit. And a solid state hard drive is a really good idea, simply because data comes on it and off of it much more quickly, and it doesn't have any moving parts, so it's less likely to fail. So in summation then, an i5 processor, 8 gig of RAM for the average user. If you're doing graphics work or anything like that, the specs change. But for the average user, I'll tell you a quick story. I went to the Microsoft store because I am kind of a Microsoft guy. I'm a PC guy, and I wanted to buy a Surface because I love the form factor. And I'll speak more to form factor in a minute. But I went to the salesman and I said, you know, what would you recommend? And the first words out of his mouth were, what do you do? Which was brilliant. I told him what I do. I write Word documents. I check my email. I surf the web. And he said, well, you don't need the highest end. And I said, are you paid on commission? Because you just gave away some money. But he was quite pleased to say, no, this is all you really need. Great advice. And so I will always respect that particular kid who was very, very straightforward and really helpful. So again, i5 processor for normal people, 8 gig of RAM and a solid state hard drive, maybe a 250 gig, right? That's the way to go. Beyond that, the really important thing is form factor. You know, where are you going to be working? Do you have a place to put a traditional computing tower? They have things called all-in-ones that the whole computing experience is inside of what we old-timers would call the screen, right? All the computing goes on in there, and then, so there's just the screen and the mouse and the keyboard. Really easy as a form factor for your desk. For me, I use a Microsoft Surface, it's a tablet, but it runs Windows 10, so it's my whole computing environment. But I can literally slap it on my desk, plug it into my monitor, keyboard, and mouse through a docking station, and then I just I've got my computer right with me. Then I pull it out of the docking station, I stuff it in my backpack, and I've got my whole computer right on my back. It's really – so it has everything to do with – the specifications are largely the same, but form factor can become really important.
So, Matt, I always chuckle when we're at networking events and I meet a technology person like yourself. Often you hear, what do you do? I'm an MSP. And I chuckle because my background, I know what that is, but people are like, okay, what is it? So what is an MSP for the people who really never heard that type of expression?
Ironically, I never use that expression in normal conversation simply because it's not very descriptive of what we do. I always describe my company as a technology services company. And then I go on to say that big companies have IT departments who take care of all their computing needs. Big, small and medium-sized businesses don't have the need nor the wherewithal to hire people for that function. So what we do is exactly the same as what an IT department would do in a big company, but we do it outsourced. So it's a little bit more economical for the end user, for the business owner. So the short answer is MSP is a technology service provider.
Makes sense. Now, follow-up question, internet connection. I heard a commercial today, you know, like, oh, we can get you up to whatever it was. And logically, like myself, I work out of my home. I want a fast connection, Matt. But how much do I really need? Like, how much should I be paying? You know, because you can pay for more than you need, right?
Sure, of course. And it's not just about what how much you pay, but and there's a lot of differences, right? There are certain if you have a fiber what's the one through Verizon? Fios. Okay. That's pretty quick, and it's important that the upload and download speeds are about the same. But in a typical connection, again, it depends a lot upon what you do. If you download huge files, if you're working from home, but you need to download giant graphics files from your customers or your vendors, that's a much bigger that's where you're gonna there'll be a pinch point there for you, right? It won't come down as quickly as you'd like. But again, you can get a lot of different kinds of speed, but you want to be really careful and consult with someone that you know that knows about that kind of thing when you decide what kind of internet connection you want, because you can absolutely overpay, and oftentimes the internet speed isn't the slowest part of the chain, right? So it's a place where you definitely want to get good advice.
So we got about 60 seconds left. So one last question, and that has to do with Windows 10. Got a lot of guys like myself still using Windows 7, going, I'm not interested in that 10. What advice do you have for them to get them to go to 10?
Yeah, unfortunately, 10? You know, Yeah, they should. And the reason for that is Windows 7 is going end of life, is what the, is the term that we use. Microsoft will stop supporting Windows 7 in about a year. And so, in general terms, so that there'll be no more security patches, there'll be no more good guys fending off the bad guys. So your Windows 7 device will, when it's connected to the internet, will be just a playground for bad guys.
So you've got about 45 seconds, Matt. What's your contact information? How can people learn more about your business, my friend?
Yeah, so the best way that you can go to our website, which is www.acapella.com. That's spelled A-C-A-P as in Peter, E-L-L-A. An email to support@acapella.com reaches the whole team. My personal email address is matt@acapella.com, and I our telephone number is 603-647-1784. I'd love to hear from any of your listeners with either just questions, you know, with no strings attached. We love to help out.
Beautiful. Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time to call on the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Wonderful to talk with you, and I'm glad to be your friend. I'm thrilled. Talk soon.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, bud. Bye now.
You bet. Bye-bye.